ఫస్ట్ 25th ఆన్వర్డ్స్ విల్ రీడ్ మైవం. ప్లీజ్ 25th వర్స్ ఆఫ్ 4th చాప్టర్. మైవం మాం సమయోషిత్ కాచిదన్యా మనోమయ మాం సమయా అభేదేపి భిద్యతే హి మనోమయ. హియర్ Vidyaranya Swami, in his 25th verse, what he makes it clear, whenever we see an object, we hear an object, we hear a sound, when we see a given form, or we smell a given smell, we taste a given thing, in general, when we perceive any corresponding object through any sense organ, and the image of that given object becomes formed in the mind of a person who perceives. So whenever we perceive any object through any sense organ, and the image of the corresponding object gets formed in the mind of the person who comes in contact with that object through sense organ. We can say the mind of the perceiver. And that image of an object perceived, I'm now unfolding the 25th verse in order to go to 27th. The object perceived, the image of the perceived object formed in the mind is said to be manomayi. What is manomayi? Outside, when you see, so in the shloka he says, we see a woman outside, Yoshit. And she is mamsamayi. She is in flesh and bones. Physical form is mamsamayi. And the perception of that physical form or any object for that matter results in forming the corresponding image in the mind, which is manomayi. So, what is perceived outside is an elemental object, bhautikaha vishyaha, an elemental object. And which is bhautika vishaya, this elemental object alone, the gross elemental object perceived through sense organs, becomes an mental image. Manasa vishyaha becomes a mental image, which is manasa vishyaha. So bhautika vishyaha perceived becomes a manasa vishyaha, manomayi. Of course, the bhautika vishyaha, the external object, the elemental gross, externally perceived elemental gross object. Elemental, it's a made of elements, is different. And then there is manasa vishyaha. Corresponding image of the object is manasa vishyaha, and which obtains in the form of a thought. If the same one given object outside is seen by many people, not only one person sees one object, one given object is seen by many people. One given object is perceived by many people. Then the images of the object may be different. the Manomayi, the images formed of the corresponding object in different minds, you know, may vary. It's exactly like how when different people take photographs of different, a given object with different cameras, depending upon how good the camera is, the condition is, how latest it is, the photo will be different. Similarly, when the external object through sense organ enters into the mind, and what happens, everyone has one's own raga, dvesha, krodha. We have our own emotional problems, especially likes and dislikes, very strong likes and dislikes, all of us helplessly have. That object, the mental image, gets mixed with those ragadveshas. The ragadveshas, and also one's own samskaras. Everyone has one's own samskaras. The samskaras of previous experiences, likes and dislikes, emotional issues. All of them definitely sometimes affect the mental image, the sense image of a given object, given perceived object. Which means there is a mixing up of one's own psychological issues, one's own personality with the image formed of an object. And such an image of an object mixed with the one's own emotional issues or psychological, the personality becomes a private image, which means a privatized image. Because my image you don't have, your image I don't have, it's a private image. Well, because it is mixed with my own personal issues. And though there's completely a different image of the perceived object, or a changed image of a perceived object, and such an image which is mixed with our own psychological personality can be nimittam for one's unhappiness, can be instrumental for one's happiness also. It can irritate a person, it can cause irritation, it can cause anger, it can cause raga, or it can cause dvesha. It can be instrumental for joy. Like that, this privatized image becomes instrumental for triggering of one's emotions, which already there. Then, this privatized image, mental image, swakiya manasa vishya, privatized mental image, then becomes cause for one's happiness or cause for one's unhappiness, not cause, nimittam, instrumental. dukkahetuhu. So what causes the, what triggers the your emotions? Is it the object outside or it is the mental image you have in you, your mind? What causes, what is instrumental? So it is made very clear, definitely not the bhautika vishaya. Definitely the object perceived outside. 100% we had to be sure. The instrument, the object perceived outside is not at all responsible for any emotion that is triggered. Even whatever we take inside, whether what you see, what you hear, what you taste, or to touch, even the food that we eat, nothing what is outside is responsible for the emotions that are triggered in our mind. Emotions themselves, like or dislike or hatred or anger or fear or anxiety, nothing. But this image of that perceived object mixed with our own emotions, mixed with our samskaras, when it becomes a privatized image, that becomes instrumental for triggering of our emotions. That becomes, then we, it is as the cause of our sukham and dukkham. So anything which is perceived outside externally as is, has an objective version of its own. But when that object, having an objective version, when a given thing having an objective version, entering into our mind through sense organs becomes privatized. Therefore, here, the whole jagat, what is experienced, what is enjoyed, what is perceived by us is Bhagavan's, Ishvara Srishtihi, Bhagavan's creation. And Bhagavan's creation is what? The whole, nothing which is not Bhagavan's creation here. Everything is Bhagavan. The whole creation is Bhagavan. The whole jagat is Bhagavan. Everything is Ishvara here. Ishvara's creation, we say Ishvara here. So everything here is what, you know, the same. Objectively, if you look at this world, objectively, the sun is the same for me, for you, for all of us. Water is the same for all of us. Earth is the same for all of us. Okay, all the elements and the elementals outside are same for all of us. There's no difference. Suppose if you see a woman outside, I see a woman outside, that woman is the woman for me and for you and for anybody. If you see a man outside, old man or young man, intelligent or brilliant, or deadhead, unintelligent, any actions, any movements, anything we see outside, is the same for all of us. Objectively, the objective version of the world is the same for all the perceivers. But the objects entered into the mind of individual mind, they're getting mixed up with our own samskaras, our own vasanas, our own nature, our own psychological personality, then that the world becomes what, when it mixed versus as a privatized image, it becomes what? Internalized, it is privatized. And this is called what? creation. It is called Dvaitam, duality, created by an individual mind, individual being. And in Panchadashi, Vidyaranya Swami calls, actually mentions, actually gives, calls this as Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, duality created by Jiva. So Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam is harmless. It's just, it is as it is. Later on, the world which has been perceived, gone into your mind, getting mixed with your personal issues, becomes internalized, privatized world, which is your own creation, which is Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. And this Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, duality created by individual himself. And it's not outside true. It's only in your own perceptions, in your own mind, in the form of your own mental image. Therefore, it is that world is your mental world. That world is your own privatized world. Manasa prapanchaha. So, bhautika prapanchaha is Ishvara Srishtihi. Manasa prapanchaha. The world obtaining in your perception, in your mind, is Manasa prapanchaha. And he says, Vidyaranya Swami makes it very clear, this bhautika prapanchaha, this external elemental world, in no way causes any irritation. It does not sadden anyone. It doesn't make anybody unhappy at all. The world is so beautiful. It is just there. It's neither a source of happiness, nor is it responsible for unhappiness. It is just there. But what is it which really results in the experience of pain and pleasure is, it is this manasa prapanchaha. The one's jiva srishta dvaitam, the tiny little world, the form of image or the externally perceived objects mixed with one's own issues alone results in experience of pleasure and pain. So this manasa prapanchaha, the world, internalized, privatized world, is jiva srishta dvaitam. Therefore, Vidyaranya Swami actually brings to light this idea of, clarifies this idea of manasa prapanchaha here. So he says, 25th verse here, mamsamayi yoshitu kachitu. If there's a woman outside and she is mamsamayi, she's in flesh and blood. And there is another woman, anya manomayi. There's a corresponding image of that woman in your mind, which is manomayi. It is the image of that woman perceived, formed in the image of that first woman, formed in one's own mind. Manomayi. And here, mamsamaya bhede api. Even though the woman outside is the one and the same woman for all the people who perceive her, the woman outside perceived is the same for all the people who perceive her, who see her. But the image of that woman formed in every mind, differs from person to person. So the object perceived is the same. The image of the object perceived differs in different minds, mixed with different emotional issues. And that having being privatized, this differs because the perceiver has his own values, likes and dislikes and vasanas, etc. Therefore, the images of the external objects privatized in the different minds alone have different versions, varied versions of one and the same external object. It's what he says in the 25th verse. 26th verse. Bhranti swapna mano rajya smritishvastu manomayam. Jagranmanena meyasya namanomayate ticet. Only now I'm slowly coming to Panchadashi. Once we start, I don't want to stop. Starting is a problem, isn't it? He says, Bhranti Swapna Manorajya Smritishu Manomayam Astu. You break it. Bhranti Swapna Manorajya Smritishu Manomayam Astu. Jagranmanena Meyasya Manomayata Nasti. Chet, iti chet. See, that iti chet, if, comes means what? This is again, Purva Pakshi raises his objection. Or he presents his query. Chet, ipdi irunda, if it is so, iti chet, means he comes with an objection. Purva Pakshi, the opponent, I mean, who has different view, who still wants clarity, comes with another objection. He says, okay, whatever image formed the mind, images of objects formed in the mind constitute the mental world, which means there is a projection, one's own mental projection of how we see the external world. It becomes what? Our manasa prapanchaha, the mental world. Simply, if we can imagine any given object without seeing it outside, also is what? Mental object. Without perceiving anything externally also, simply we can imagine something. Not necessarily always we should have objects outside. Sometimes we perceive objects, then we have our own, we connect with the object with other things, our own likes and dislikes, then there's a different distorted image of an object. Now similarly, he says, there can be an object which can be simply imagined without, even if it is not outside. This also manasa vishaya. So the Purapakshi's question is now, only without having any external object, if you imagine something in your mind, this can be called mental object, manasa vishaya. But when there is corresponding object, external object outside, like a woman or a man, there is somebody right in front of you whom you can interact with, an external object. So when there's an external object, then how can we say, talk only about the mental object? So it is said, Bhranti Swapna Manorajya Smritishu. See, there are, we go through certain situations. Sometimes we are confused. There is a situation when there is confusion, Bhrantihi, situation of going through a confusion. And there is a time when we are in dream, Swapna. That's the condition, there's a state when we are in dream. And Manorajya. Manorajya means what? Sometimes you don't need, sometimes you fall asleep, in sleep you dream. Sometimes without even falling asleep, simply keeping awake, closing your eyes, just then we plan, scheme. No? Then it's a fancy imagination. It's sort of a dream in daytime. Dream being awake. It's not a dream in sleep, but a dream in waking condition. It's called Manorajya. Manorajya here means what? Dream or thinking, getting lost in thinking of something, dreaming, keeping awake, is called Manorajya. Daydream. So there are situations when we are confused. The situations, there is a situation where we dream in sleep. The situation sitting, keeping awake also, we think of things we are in daydream. And Smriti. Smriti means what? Sometimes we remember, we recollect the past events, past situations, past connections, and we remember. Remembering the past situations, past events, experiences is Smriti. Okay, like this, we go through different mental conditions, situations. So the Purapakshi says, only those situations he wants to accept as manasa prapanchaha manasa vishayaha. So according to him, confusion is a manasa prapancha, manasa vishaya, confusion, or dream, or simply thinking, simply sitting and having fancy ideas, daydreaming, etc. For him is the manasa vishaya, manasa prapancha. That he accepts. Whereas, he becomes the question, we take the example of snake and the rope and snake. When you see the snake outside, when you see this, actually what is this rope, which is external object. But if I see the snake, what is outside is rope, But if I happen to see the rope, snake, instead of seeing the rope as a rope, if I see, I mistake the rope for a snake, in my mind, there's an image. See, I perceive, what I perceive actually is the rope, but the image of the rope formed in my mind is a snake. Then that object is what? That is that image of the rope formed in mind is a snake, not the rope. That object is what? Mental object. Manasa Vishyaha. And that Manasa Vishyaha does not exist at all really. There's only mental projection. So snake, the image of the rope, obtaining of a snake, which is manas as manasa vishya, is only mental projection. So in dream, or other, when in recollecting the past experiences, all definitely mental projections. So all these definitely form what now? Definitely manasa prapancha, mental projection. He accepts that. But now he's asking is, Jagranmanena, Jagranmanaha, Jagranmanena, Meyasya, Na Manomayata Iti. But what is his objection? He accepts all these as mental projections, Manasa Vishya, Manasa Prapancha. So I remind. Whereas in waking state, keeping awake and using the sense organs as instruments of knowledge, when we directly perceive objects, because objects are right, available within the range of perception, then he says, there is only this external world is real because manomayata nasti. There is no mental projection. Which means manomayata means there's no internalization or privatization of the object. What he says, when we perceive the objects, obtaining within the perception, range of perception, there is no privatization or internalization, projection, mental projection of the object. That's his argument. Now, Vidyarana Swami has to answer this, which means what we said first. Jiva Srishtad, what is Jiva Srishtad Dvaitam? There is external object, external world, which gets mixed with our own emotions, ragadveshas. Then there's an image formed. And that image of an external object is Manasa Vishya. Privatized object is your mental object. That's what Jiva Srishtad Dvaitam. So what is Jiva Srishta Dvaitam? The duality created by Jiva is nothing but the creation of the world or objects mixed with one's own, the images. Actually, images formed of the objects perceived externally, mixing with our own emotional issues, our own personal, the psychological personality. That is what is Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. Now he says, no, such a Manasa Prapancha is not possible. What is the what does he say? The Purupakshi. He doesn't accept the Jiva Srishta Dvaita. He just says, yes, manasa prapanchaha, manasa vishyaha, mental projection, mental object, mental inner world of objects means actually only those, he only says where mind alone is involved. In dream, mind alone is involved. There's no physical world involved in dream. And in, and when you sit and imagine things, keeping awake, still, because you're lost in your thinking, it is like keeping awake, you're dreaming. There, mind alone is involved. And similarly, then sometimes we do not know what to do, what not to do, always confusion comes, a dilemma comes. Then that is a mental condition, that's a mental object. That is how the mental manasa prapancha is, manasa vishya is. According to him, only that much alone is manasa vishya. He does not agree with jiva srishta dvaitam. So, this Vidyana Swami has to further explain. He says, yes. Now, to make this person accept not only the confusion, not only the dream, not only the daydreaming, not only imagination is mental projection, there is a different version, image of the externally perceived world and objects in different minds, which is also manasa vishyaha, mental world. One's own private world, privatized object, internalized object, internalized world, which is the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. And he doesn't understand, therefore, Vidyarana Swami really makes effort to bring to light the very mechanism of mental object. Which means the mechanism of formation of the image, a distorted image of an external object. See, perception of an object itself is possible because of perception of an object itself is because of what? The image. Because of the image formed in the mind. If the image does not get formed in the mind, then there cannot be perception. You'll be simply staring at things. There's nothing gets registered. Nothing gets formed. So for an object to be perceived, there must be first of all what? The image has to be formed. Image of the object must be formed for the perception to take place. I'm repeating the sentence. The image has to form in the mind of any object for the object to be perceived. If the image of the object is not perceived in the mind, then the object does not become perceived at all. If without the image, without having the image formed in the mind, if you are simply seeing something, it is like staring at something, and actually you are blank in your mind, you are simply staring at things. Because sometimes we keep our eyes open and there are objects in front of our eyes which we can see, but there's no image formed in your mind. Therefore, in keeping with the perception, there must be manasa vishaya. So mental image is required for any given perception. Only then experience of that object is possible. Actually, our experience is always of the manasa vishaya, not the external world. Whenever you say I experience, what I experience is actually the image formed in my mind, not the what is outside. When I say I see a car outside, actually what it means is there is a car image in my mind which I experience. What I experience is the car image in my mind, not the car outside. So experience of the car image in my mind, which is formed of the external object, alone is actually experiencing the car outside. Therefore, we always experience only the images of the mental images formed in our mind, not the external world. Our experience is always of the mental images formed of the external objects, but not the external objects directly. Okay, that is different. Now, if we, with reference to this example of snake and rope, a rope and snake, Rajju Sarpaha. Even here, when there is the rope outside, but the image of the rope is formed in the form of a snake in your mind, actually our response is not to the rope. Our response is not to the rope, which is actually there outside. The rope is which is outside. And we do not respond to the rope which is outside. But our response is, our whole focus is only to the snake. And the snake is what? Internal. The snake is actually the privatized image, object. Mano manasa vishaya. In fact, rope has nothing to do with us. The rope in no way affects at all. The rope doesn't cause any problem, but the rope is perceived the image of the rope perceived as a snake alone creates the problem in terms of fear. What causes the fear is the image of the, you know, the experienced perceived snake causes the problem. It is not actually what exists in the form of a rope. A rope doesn't cause any pain, any fear. It is the perceived snake causes the fear. Therefore, there is Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. There is a world of duality created by Jiva, which means having the images. Jiva creation means don't think that like a pot maker sits and makes a pot. Not like that. How Jiva means having individuality, mistaking this I for the body, mind, and complex. And having identity with the body, mind, and complex. And having one's own internal privatized world of objects. Mixing up with one's own emotions. is Jivasrishta Dvaitam. Therefore, the Dvaitam causes fear. See, non-duality is Bhaya Nivarakam. In the vision of non-duality, there's no fear. In duality, there is fear. In non-duality, there's no samsara. In duality, there is samsara. In non-duality, there's no bandha. In duality, there's a bandha. So what is the duality here? You know, the external world, this is not the source of samsara, cause of samsara. It's beautiful as the world as it is. It's Ishvara Srishti. That's all. And what samsara, the bondage, the duality is actually Jiva Srishta Dvaitam is the problem. Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam is not responsible for bondage. It is the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam which is the bondage. That is where samsara, that is where we go through pain and pleasure. We experience the fear. Like that's why example is given. The snake outside, just is the rope outside, just it is there. It doesn't affect you at all in any way. Whereas what really causes fear, anxiety, you know, and the consequences of going through fear, etc., is actually caused purely by the snake, you know, the mental, the image obtained from a snake, experienced the snake experience, which is purely internal, the perception of the snake. It is the snake which is perceived results in the fear, not the external object. So what is the lesson here? It is the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam which is the cause of bondage. It is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam does not cause any bondage. Samsaram na janayati. Samsara janakam natu Ishvara Srishtam Dvaitam parantu Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. Okay? This is the what we have understood long, long ago, last year sometime, in until 26th verse. It takes time for me to come back to the new lesson. After long break, we are seeing very serious lesson. Where is samsara? There's the whole jagat is samsara. Samsara is in your whole bondage, is in your perception, in your notion, not the perception of the world. How the world is perceived in your mind. Mixing it with your own emotions. Oh my God, I tell you, whole Shastram bangs. If there's no mixing up of anything, if you do not mix, add any little to anything what is seen outside, you will always be free. You will not be affected at all. What is outside? Just see what is outside as it is. But we can never see that. There's something outside and we always add, mix things. And we add, mix because we have our own past experiences, samskaras and our own emotions, our own issues. We mix them. That is what is bondage. Okay, now we'll move on to the new verse. Badham. Now here, mane tu me yena yagat syad vishaya kritihi. Badham mane tu me yena yagat syad vishaya kritihi. Badham mane tu me yena yagat syad vishaya kritihi. Bhashyavartika karabhyam ayam ಅಯಮರ್ಥೋ ಅಯಮರ್ಥ ಉದೀರಿತಃ. ಸೀ, ಬಾಢಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಎಸ್, ಆಮ್ ಎಸ್. ಮೇಯೇನ ಯೋಗಾತ್ ತು ಮಾನೆ ವಿಷಯಾಕೃತಿ ಸ್ಯಾತ್. ಅಯಂ ಅರ್ಥ ಉದೀರಿತಃ ಬೈ ಹೂಂ, ಭಾಷ್ಯ ವಾರ್ತಿಕ ಕಾರಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ಉದೀರಿತಃ ಅಯಂ ಅರ್ಥ. ಬಾಢಂ ಎಸ್, ಮಾನೆ, ಮಾನೆ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್, ಮಾನೆ ತು ಮೇಯೇನ ಯೋಗಾತ್, ಮಾನೆ ತು ಮೇಯೇನ ಯೋಗಾತ್. ಸಮ್ ಕರೆಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ದ ವರ್ಸ್, ಯೋಗಾತ್ ಬಟ್ ನಾಟ್ ಯೋಗಾತ್, ಯೋಗಾತ್. ಮಾನಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಪರ್ಸೆಪ್ಷನ್, ಮೇಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್, ವೆನ್ ದಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟರ್ನಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಪರ್ಸೀವ್ಡ್ ಔಟ್ಸೈಡ್, ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟರ್ನಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಪರ್ಸೀವ್ಡ್ ನ್ಯಾಚುರಲಿ, ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಕರೆಸ್ಪಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಇಂಟರ್ನಲ್ ಮೆಂಟಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, the image of the internal mental world is formed when the external world of objects is perceived. There's a corresponding parallel internal image of the world is formed, and that internally formed image of the world is not exactly the world outside. The image of the world formed inside is actually mixed with the perceiver's psychological personality, becomes a different version of what is perceived outside, what is there outside. Therefore, and this is what is called jeeva srishta dvaitam, jeeva srishti, creation of the jeeva. Badam manetu meyena yogat, yogat asya, yogat sar, yogat syat vishaya akritihi. Vishaya akritihi means what? Image of the externally perceived object is there in every mind. That's true. It is jeeva srishti. And how it is explained, he says, one's own karma, the karma we have in our account, the karma we have done, the karma phalam we have earned, the parabdha karma we have also really contributes in great deal. Parabdha karma also is very place, takes a very important place here. Even though the whole world is there, so many things are there, so many people are there, so many actions are there, you know, so many transactions are happening. What is that exactly perceived? We do not perceive the whole world. The entire world is not seen by us. A small given portion, a small, tiniest segment of the, a tiniest segment of the external world alone enters into a given individual's mind. And this, what is that particular tiniest segment of the external world enters into one's mind actually is dependent on one's own action, one's own karma, and one's own, and also how one exercises free will. In keeping with the exercise of one's free will, in keeping with the choice of one's karma, you know, also the tiniest segment of the external world enters into one's mind. I mean, which segment? What is that actual tiniest segment which enters into one's mind? That depends upon one's choice of action and free will. See, when the sense organs come in contact with their respective objects. So, manam, the instruments of knowledge, mayena yogat. When this maya means object of knowledge, manam, instrument of knowledge. When the sense organs come in contact with their corresponding objects, yoga means coming in contact. In this context, in this verse. When the sense organs come in contact with their corresponding objects, then what happens? Immediately, those objects, corresponding objects, through the corresponding sense organs, enter into the mind. They enter the mind. Objects enter the mind through their corresponding sense organs, means of knowledge. Whether it is form, sound, color, taste, whatever it is, objects are outside. Objects are external. But the image of the object remains only in the thought, in mind. Image remains in your mind only. Therefore, that image which is manasa vishaya is created, projected by an individual, jiva. And how do you create that image? The image of an externally perceived object, image formed of an object in one's individual mind, is purely in keeping with one's karma, one's samskara, one's nature, one's, you know, vasanas one has, one's emotions such as likes and dislikes, raga dvesha, etc. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavad Pada, the commentator, Bhashyakaraha, and Sureshwar Acharya is a Vartikakaraha. Vartikam is a no explanatory, the notes on the commentary. And Suresh Acharya is Vartikakara, Shankaracharya Bhashyakara. Commentator Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada, who has written commentary on the Upanishads. And Suresh Acharya has written notes on the commentary, Vartikam, and all these Mahatmas. So he, Vidyanand Swami, mentioned all of them discuss the mechanism of perception, the theory of perception. Shankara Bhagavad Pada, in his commentaries, he discusses theory of perception. Sureshwar Acharya, as an author of Vartikam, he also discusses theory of perception. And they really discuss the mechanism involved in the sense perception. The externally existent world, external world, the bahya prapanchaha becomes antara prapanchaha. Bahya prapanchaha becomes antara prapanchaha first. the external world becomes really privatized in the mind. So, ayam arthaha bhashya vartika karabhyam. Bhashya vartika karabhyam ayam arthaha udiritaha. Means, Bhashyakara Shankara and Vartikara Sureshwaracharya, all of them. Ayam arthaha means what? Ayam arthaha means this. This idea of internalizing the external world, privatizing the external world at the during perception, okay, at the time of perception, internalizing or privatizing the external world, it has been discussed. And definitely it is Jiva Srishti Dvaitam. What has been said above has been reinforced. Definitely we are helplessly, we do our own actions. And our actions are driven by, let me explain my mechanism now. See, we are helplessly, choicelessly chased by our likes and dislikes, our desires to do something or other. All our actions are, of course, we use our will and we have priorities and we choose to do actions. No, we choose to do actions driven by our likes and dislikes and desires. We are priorities because we are not, desires are naturally there. So diseases are naturally there. So diseases are natural. Karma is natural. And of course the will, maximum we can do is we can only do, use the will to choose to the right or wrong. And there are results which are determined by natural laws. And the disease results can be to our expectation, not to our expectation. And we are dependent on the results for our happiness and things. Therefore, and we always have what? Our own Janmantra Samskaras. What are the things which we like, we don't like, etc. And our previous experiences. Therefore, naturally, nobody needs to create anything. We all of us have enough of subconscious. We all have subconscious. And in our subconscious, all of us have equally all the emotions. There's no subconscious mind where there is no fear, where there's no anxiety, where there's no anger, where there's no likes, where there's no dislike, where there's no hatred. That all of us have all these likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety. All of us have. Shastram says all of us are, the same boat. There's no different at no difference at all. The difference is only the proportion may vary from person to person. But all of us have the problem. Because the very fact that I'm born here itself is the proof that I'm still ignorant. Once there is ignorance and you can't help having this problem, subconscious, the load of subconscious we all of us have. Therefore, and that what is in subconscious, is waiting for situation, something to trigger. So the external world actually somehow becomes the nimittam, instrumental for our own emotions to be triggered. Then what happens when they trigger? They get triggered and they get mixed, always associated. Our raga, our dvesha, our hatred, our anger, our fear, our things get mixed up with the image formed of an external object. Image of the mind, this image formed of external object, which is mixed with our emotions, And then there's a completely different version of what is outside. Therefore, and that becomes that privatized, internalized, mixed, distorted image alone, not the real image. Distorted image alone is instrumental for, again, for us to experience sukha dukkha. Even though it is neither a cause, neither a source of happiness, nor it is a source of unhappiness, it becomes sukha dukkha janaka. Therefore, we say this is what is jiva srishta dvaitam, and this is what is the cause of samsara. So Vidyanaya Swami says, it's not just I'm saying, even Shreshwar Acharya, Shankaracharya, all of them have really discussed Ayam Artha Udiritaha, about the Jiva Srishti, what is Jiva Srishti Dvaitam. They also have really emphatically presented in their writings. Okay. Musha siktam yatha tamram. Musha siktam yatha tamram. Tannibham jayate tatha. Rupadin vyapnuvachittam. Tannibham drishyate dhruvam. Musha siktam yatha tamram. Tannibham jayate tatha. Rupadin vyapnuvachittam. Tannibham drishyate dhruvam. So here, Musha siktam yatha tamram. Tannibham jayate tatha. Rupadin vyapnuvat chittam tannibham drishyate dhruvam. Vidyarana Swami always, presents appropriate things taking from other texts. And here, this particular verse, the 28th verse, actually, has been literally, the idea given here has been literally taken from the text called Upadesha Sahasri. The teaching in 1000 verses is called Upadesha Sahasri. And in this text, Upadesha Sahasri, there's a comparison of the mind presented. What is this mind comparable to? What is mind compared to? No, the molten metal. Mind is compared to the molten metal. And no, for the there must be a mold, isn't it? And the object that is perceived is compared to the very mold. The object is like the mold, mind is like the molten metal. And the mind has no form. You know that very well. Mind is very abstract. You cannot go and hold the mind tightly. Mind is formless, abstract, very subtle. Not very subtle means what? Incomprehensibly subtle. Therefore, you have to talk about the vritti to understand the thought, to understand the mind. Because mind is formless, abstract. Like we can't, like how the physical body is gross, mind is not like that. Mind is very inexplicably subtle. It is formless. But the mind travels. Mind moves through the sense organs in order to come in contact with the objects. The mind moves through the sense organs, comes in contact with the sense objects. How? Only in the form of a thought. If I say ocean rises, what does it mean? Ocean rises in the form of a wave. That the mind moves in the form of a thought through sense organs. And thereby it comes in contact with the external world of objects. When the mind in the form of a thought moves through the sense organs and comes in contact with the object, the mind assumes the form of an object. The mind in the form of a thought moving through a sense organ, coming in contact with the object, assumes the form or the shape of an object. And the mind assuming the form of an object in the form of a thought is called Vishaya Akara Vrittihi. Please remember, mind in the form of a thought moving through the sense organs, coming in contact with the object, assuming the form or the shape of an object in the form of a thought is called what? Vishayakara vrittihi. So when the vritti is, as long as the vritti does not arrive at the object, does not come in contact with the object, then there is vritti, but vritti without an object. So vritti without assuming the form of an object, vritti, the mental vritti is there. The vritti without assuming the form of an object is called nirakara vrittihi. A thought which has not assumed any form or shape of any object is called a nirakara vrittihi, a formless thought. And a thought which has assumed the form of an object is called a vishayakara vrittihi. So nirakara vrittihi, vishayakara vrittihi. When they're fast asleep, there are vrittis. Literally vishayakara vritti. That is nirakara vritti. When you wake up, then you have vishayakara vritti. So nirakara vritti, vishayakara vritti. For the nirakara vritti to become a vishayakara vritti, it must come in contact with the object, for which it has to move through the sense organ. Okay. And then this mind in the thought comes in contact with the object, any object, then whatever object it comes in contact with, it assumes that given form, given shape. We have Vishayakara Vritti. If you see a house, then there's a Griha Akara Vrittihi. See a pot, then pot Akara Vrittihi. We see a book, pustaka akara vrittihi, book akara vritti, pot akara vritti, house akara vritti, road akara vritti, car akara vritti, driver akara vritti. You see some bread akara vritti, tea akara vritti, song akara vritti, buhari raga akara vritti. My God. Not only physical forms you see through eyes, there is a ஆகார விருத்தி, விஷயாகார விருத்தி. ஆப்ஜெக்ட் கேன் பி எனி திங் சீன், ஹர்ட் ஆர் ஸ்மெல்ட் ஆர் டேஸ்ட், ஈவன் ஸ்வீட் ஆகார விருத்தி. Like that, we should remember, there is a corresponding vritti. Whatever is the object, in whichever form it obtains, and through whichever sense organ it is perceived, for which the mind, in the form of a thought, traveling through given sense organ, coming in contact with the given object in any form, assumes the given form or shape of that given object. Which is Vishyakara Vritti. Therefore, now we can see here, Musha Siktam. Tamra. Tamra means copper. Musha Siktam Yatha Tamram. And when we melt the copper, tamram, tamra musha siktam, or musha siktam tamram, the copper which had been melted, the melted copper, a metal, copper, a given metal called it copper, when it is, you know, the melted metal in him of the copper one poured into a given mold, a particular mold. And what happens? Any metal, for not only copper, any metal for that matter, a melted metal poured into a given mold assumes the shape of that mold, form of that mold. If you put the melted gold, if it is poured into the mold of a chain, it becomes a chain. Or a bangle becomes a bangle. So melted steel and iron poured into the chair mold becomes a chair. Like that. So becomes that particular mold. Here, he used word tamram, meant copper. So, musha asiktam tamram, the melted copper, just been poured into a given mold, assumes the form of that mold. So, copper or brass in panchaloha, even five metals also we have, five metal murtis. The melted metal poured into any particular mold. We have so many murtis. So we can have different murtis. We can have Shiva's murti, Shiva's form or Krishna's form. Anything. And what happens? Once poured, tan nibham jayate tatha. Yatha tatha. Just as a melted metal poured into a given mold assumes the form of a given mold. Tannibha means similar to that mold. The melted metal assumes the form of the mold, which means the similar to the mold. Form which is similar to the mold. It does not become the mold itself. It, when you can take, remove it from the mold, then it becomes the form similar to that of the mold. Very, very important note here. The melted metal poured into a mold assumes the form similar to that of the mold. So, Rupadin Vyapunavan Vat Chittam. Again, Vat means like Chittam, mind, similarly, mind. ரூபாதீன் வியாப்னுவன் தன்னிபம். மைண்ட் ஆல்சோ, த மைண்ட் ஹாஸ் நோ ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் இட்ஸ் ஓன், மைண்ட் ஹாஸ் நோ ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் இட்ஸ் ஷேப், இட் இஸ் ஃபார்ம்லெஸ். திஸ் ஃபார்ம்லெஸ் மைண்ட், inexplicably abstract formless mind, subtlest mind. No, the melted metal has no form, just it's in melted, that's all. Only it's poured into the mold, it assumes the form of form similar to that of a mold. Similarly, the mind by itself is formless, but when it goes, it travels through the sense organs in the form of a vritti. It comes in contact with the object, then there gets formed the image of that object. The image is, image can be of any of the five objects. Image can be of the food, smell, touch, taste, or sound. That is what is said here. So, tannibham drishyate dhruvam. Then what happens? Then objects, that is the image, the vishyakara vritti. Nirakara vritti becomes vishyakara vritti. And then mixing up, then that's how the object becomes privatized or internalized. I think I'll stop the class now. Did you get any, at least a little bit, have you understood today? I haven't done too much. I took very long to go back to the old verses where we stopped and to come back to the new lesson. What is Jeeva Srishta Dvaitam? How Jeeva Srishta Dvaitam are not responsible for our samsara? Not the Ishwara Srishta Dvaitam. For Jeevan Mukta, Ishwara Srishta Dvaitam alone is there. He is free. Jeevan Mukta. Because there is no mixing up. Very objective. There's no internalization, privatization of anything here. But how to avoid this? So we had to understand the problem to get it off the problem. So here, Jeeva Srishta Dvaitam is explained. Also bringing Purvapakshis into the picture. He says that not just I'm alone saying, even other acharyas say this. So, generally, the mind by itself has no problem. The object by itself has no problem. But the mind associated with the objects, the images mixed with our emotions, the problem. Therefore, actually problem is in ignorance. Even Jeeva Srishta Dvaita also is because of the Ajnanam only. We'll understand next class. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.